This show is paid for by CC Medical Services. The views expressed by the following program are those of the sponsor and are not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media. It's time now for Optimal Health with Dr. Christopher Calipay. Dr. Calipay is an osteopathic physician, board certified in family practice and chelation therapy, anti-aging medicine. Dr. Calipay specializes in reconstructive and neurotherapy for chronic pain and musculoskeletal disorders. And he's achieved fellowship certification for stem cell therapy. Dr. Calipay's office number in Long Island is 516-794-0404. We will repeat that number throughout the show. Now, here's Dr. Christopher Calipay.
Welcome, friends, and thank you for tuning into the Optimal Health program today. Hope you're all doing well. As you know, within a few moments, you're going to be taking your calls here at 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and you could ask a question. And as I've said a million times before, there are no foolish or stupid questions. People sometimes preface the question with, well, this is going to be a stupid question, but, and there are none, because when you have information that you need, you have to ask a question to get the answer. So some people ask about specific vitamins, some people ask about specific symptoms or conditions or disorders. No one is expected to know everything in every circumstance, so questions are important. Again, phone line to call in to ask your questions, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. So there are a lot of different, I don't want to say fads occurring, but there's really no other better word for that. Where people will try to do a variety of different things because they hear that it might be good for them or they think that it's a great idea. Some people are using butter in their coffee in the morning and or using other oils so that their oil consumption is up really high. So that would typically make them be less hungry. And they go well beyond the appropriate amount of oil to have at one given sitting, and that can put strain on your liver. We've seen that with patients. So we have to talk to people about what they should or shouldn't have and not to listen to a fad or a book or some idea out there. You have to really follow what your body's requirements are and how you need to correct and to fulfill those requirements. For many years, we've counseled people virtually every single day of work, 6 days a week, about diet and vitamins and foods and what to eat and what not to eat and how low-carb diets are better for you, but not necessarily super high-fat diets because that could be difficult for your body, your gallbladder or your kidneys or your liver. So we have to put things in specific place and in moderation. We have other people that are drinking smoothies and think that the best thing to have, you know, first thing in the morning for breakfast is a, quote, smoothie. Now, some people put a protein shake into it. Some people that use protein powders will have high carb protein powders, which are not good because you don't want to have, you know, 20 grams of sugar in your drink. And then they add fruit to it, a banana, sometimes orange or pineapple, and then the sugar content just goes sky high. So smoothies can be dangerous unless you're keeping that sugar content down at the low end. Now, I'd be the first person to say if you got a good protein powder, you can certainly use that. If that's a low-carb protein powder. And, of course, if you're allergic to cow's milk, you'd have to go to a different source, etc. Or if you're allergic to soy, you have to go to something else. But you can put berries in to give it a little bit of sweetness, but not the regular fruits because then your sugar intake becomes too high. And I think a lot of people feel good with that, but then all of a sudden, mid-morning, they crash because their blood sugar drops because of insulin release. So you can't have too much sugar in one given meal. So there should be good proteins, good fats, some carbohydrates. Low carbohydrate, I think, works best with most people, especially when you want to bring down your weight, your blood sugar, your cholesterol, your triglycerides, LDL, especially when you want to get rid of some of the bloating that you experience. But that's typically caused from excess carbohydrate in the diet. So we have to be careful when we're making these things to have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay, if you have some questions about that, or if you'd like to call in, you can do so now, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Ruth in the Bronx. How are you?
Hello. I'm calling about a family member who has rheumatoid arthritis of the hand.
Okay.
Would stem cell be any help to
them? Typically we've seen some pretty great results with people that have rheumatoid. And some people have it in many places and some people have it in a few. But there's ample research on stem cell therapy helping to decrease the inflammatory cascade of rheumatoid arthritis. So in most cases what we do, based upon what we were told to do from, you know, research through the clinical trial and such, is to do intravenous stem cells that can go to all your areas of blood flow, all your organs, help to shut down inflammatory issues, lupus, rheumatoid. And we might also inject the area of question, the joint, whether it's the hand, the feet, etc. So stem cell therapy works very well for rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, take a look at the website. There are articles on my website on stem cells and rheumatoid. If you were to look past the 15 or so stem cell videos and look down towards the bottom of the website, there's a big article section with 2,000 articles. And there are articles on stem cell therapy for autoimmune diseases, for lupus, scleroderma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, all sorts of different disorders where stem cell therapy has shown benefit. And the research has been out there for many, many years on your own stem cells for your body. So that might be a perfect option because it does not have the risk or carry the risk that a lot of the medications do for those disorders.
Can you tell me the website again?
The website is drcal.net, drcal.net.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Have a wonderful day. Once again, the phone number, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Give us a call. Try not to wait to the end of the program because we cannot take more than a call or two at the last minute of the program. Let's go to Susan in Yonkers. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Calpe, for taking my question. I have some hypertension during physical and emotional stress times every day, and I'm in my early 50s, and I have some underlying conditions and difficulties and problems with my health. Would you like me to give you a 4 or 5 of the difficulties?
Yeah, sure. Tell me what your body's going through so I can get a better handle as to what the underlying issues are.
Thank you. Digestive problems, sugar and salt sensitivity, metabolic problems like diabetes, pulse rate is a little high at times, and I have exacerbated and exaggerated allergies to food like wheat and milk. And, yes, and so those are five of the, you know, some of the symptoms that I have quite a bit every day. And I was just wondering, which supplements would you suggest for a woman
This is nothing about supplements to take randomly. We have to get a blood test done to look at your vitamin levels to see what you're deficient in, because that has to be corrected. If you randomly take supplements and you're not correcting what you're deficient in, you'll never get any result. When we talk about people that are diabetic or they have elevated sugar or even high cholesterol, triglycerides, etc., we talk about doing a specific low-carb diet where your blood sugar starts to come down. We try to get people to walk a little bit every day for a half hour, 45 minutes to help the muscles burn sugars and fats. We correct declining hormones. And certainly for diabetes, we do stem cell therapy. So that can get your pancreas to make the insulin, because stem cells will become pancreatic cells that make insulin. And now your own insulin will help to bring your sugar down. So stem cells, in a way, is bringing brand new cells in the billions to repair damaged areas of your body. And your stem cells are attracted to areas of damage and degeneration. So that may be able to help a variety of things. But what we're talking about, the overview is, and I understand your allergy, you have to keep the foods that you're allergic to out of your diet. Keep the carbs down. We tell people not to have any grains, because grains are more irritating than they are beneficial for you. And that will start to change the underlying cause. Are there supplements that could give some benefit? Yes, but not if you're not doing the diet. You know, chromium would be beneficial to help stabilize the sugar to an extent. Fish oil can decrease inflammation. But when you're talking about a variety of things all together, we have to understand each mechanism and take steps to correct each mechanism. That's why I think we have to do your blood test, because in that we'll do a red blood cell magnesium potassium level to see what your magnesium potassium levels really are. That's much more accurate than just doing a serum level. So if you're low in the red blood cell, then we have to raise up magnesium potassium. So there's a lot that is going on, as you're describing, but there's a great deal more happening behind the scenes we want to correct. It's never about throwing vitamins at symptoms or disorders like that, we have to change the picture, change the cause, and then you'll see the quickest response of your body coming right back to where it should be.
Uh-huh. But I have some digestive problems, you know, trying to take magnesium and things like that.
Well, maybe you're not breaking down your foods well, because the majority of people that we test, certainly in their 50s, but even in their 30s and 40s, don't have great digestive enzyme production or hydrochloric acid production. That would typically help you to break down your foods or your vitamins and help you to kill germs occurring in the gut. So a Heidelberg test is what we would do to evaluate your digestive absorptive ability. We would also do a stool test to see what sort of organisms might be there, whether it's bacteria, virus, fungal organisms, or yeast, et cetera, or even parasites for some people. We need to see what your digestive issue is defined by. So it's not enough just to say I have a digestive issue here and I have a diabetic issue there. We have to work on all of those areas, because without that, you won't get results with just taking vitamins.
Oh, I see. And also, well, my digestive problems, I don't know if they're affected by, you know, my history of having to take different antibiotics throughout my life.
Yeah, that's probably what was that great movie, The Usual Suspects? The usual suspects for digestive issues are people that might have taken lots of antibiotics over the years, who eat a lot of carb, and then, you know, fungal or yeast or any kind of organism will grow with carbohydrate on board. And then people that have allergies also have delayed reactions to things. So you might think you're okay with this food or that food, but if we can test that and find out that you're allergic and you're having a delayed reaction to the food, it can take a week before that food starts to create a problem. So you never know that it was happening while you were eating it, so you typically continue to eat it. So that's why the blood test, the digestive Heidelberg test, stool test, all these things will give us a great amount of information.
Okay, because it's hard to find medical care for women in their 50s.
And I have to give you some comment on this. Yes, you're right. It's hard to find doctors who do the most thorough evaluations, for men and for women. So for women in their 50s, unfortunately, a lot of doctors say, well, you're 50s, you're menopause, blah, blah, blah. And then they try to give you something to cover up your symptom, which is wrong. And I've seen this, and that's why I'm commenting on it. I'm not making specific comments about individual or specific doctors, et cetera. I'm just saying that there's not enough testing done to find the causes to correct that, and that changes your symptom or your outcome.
Okay, so your center does this?
Absolutely, positively. For 30 years, I've been doing the same comprehensive medical and nutritional evaluation. So we'll teach you everything we can about your body and then show you how we can take steps to start correcting things.
And you outline this on your website also?
Yes. There's videos there. There are a lot of articles there. There are people who've gone through the procedures. A patient who was diabetic and after 2 months, after doing a stem cell procedure, is non-diabetic. He's lost some weight, so he feels like $1 million. And we have another one, a gentleman we're going to put up on the website soon. We just did his video a couple of weeks ago. So there's a lot of information for you there, and of course, that's what I do. We try to give people as much info as possible.
Right, and as far as the allergies are concerned, they seem a little bit exaggerated because of my age and my hormonal status. So it seems like some of my allergies, like to milk and wheat, have gotten worse. It's
typically that can happen, but also remember that menopausal symptoms might be aches and pains, bloating, indigestion, et cetera. But allergy could also cause the same symptoms, so they're piggybacking on one another. As well, there are a lot of people that are allergic to wheat, for example, and then in the summer and early fall, when ragweed is at its peak, because ragweed and wheat are in the same family, people that are allergic to wheat are having more of a problem because the ragweed is contributing and, quote, piggybacking onto the symptoms for the wheat. So there's a lot of interesting stuff we could talk about.
Uh-huh. And also, the last thing is that I seem to crave wheat and milk every day. To eat a piece of bread.
A lot of people crave what they're allergic to. That's a fascinating but common scenario. But also, if your blood sugars are going up and down, when your sugars are low, you're going to crave more than otherwise. But these are all things we see all the time, so it would be very easy for me to walk you through this.
Okay,
so we'd love to help you out.
You would answer those questions at a visit.
Okay, and even more than that, we give you true answers on everything from the testing we do. So, give us a call. We'd love to help you out. 516-794-0404 is the Garden City office. For those people who are closer to Plainview, the phone number is 516-433-3232. Website drcal.net. And we're constantly putting information on there so people can read. And, you know, if one of the hats that I wear, one of the most important hats, is teacher. So I have to teach you what the literature shows so we could adapt that and understand how that could help to improve your condition. Okay, let's go to Tom in Long Island. How are you?
Good evening, doctor. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
My 26-year-old son is trying to build up his body, and part of his regimen is he takes these protein shakes a couple of times a day.
Yeah.
Is there a point where this becomes not good?
Well, it's hard to say. Most of the protein shakes are not completely out of whack, and they're not giving you far more of the protein than your body can handle. Of course, there are pro ball players and there are pro bodybuilders that, you know, they have 2 or 3 grams of protein for pound of body weight, which is huge. It's almost insane. But having a protein shake twice a day shouldn't be an issue. Protein shakes, a lot of times, will have 10, 15, 20 grams of protein. So if you're getting 40 grams of protein in a shake, that's not a problem at all. But, you know, you might want to do the blood test for the vitamins to make sure the vitamins are there. When people are working out more so to build size, strength, speed, when they compete or athletic, you're burning up vitamins a lot faster. So you may want to correct your vitamins. That might be holding back your body's ability to become strong. So we would check all of that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the call. Okay, phone numbers open for calls. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. You could call in when you have a moment to do so. We try to get you to do that now, not to the end of the program. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Alice in the Bronx. Hi there.
Yes. My mom had a hip replacement and about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And she had what they call osteomyelitis.
Oh, boy.
Which is now very progressive, and they want to do a surgery, and they want to take the titanium rod out because the infection is like a couple of inches deep.
Yeah.
She don't want to do that.
When did she have the hip surgery? Did you say 20 years ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now the hip has become infected, but did she have a fall or some other injury or some sort of cut that could have introduced the infection? Because I'd be hard-pressed to believe that an osteomyelitis that occurred after surgery would take 20 years to show itself.
Well,
where do they think the infection came from?
A few years ago, she had osteomyelitis, and they took her to the hospital, and they pumped intravenous antibiotics for about three weeks. And it went on for years without any side effects or any reoccurrence, and now it's back again.
Oh, boy. That's a tough one. You see, when you have an infection in a localized area, like an abscess, which would be in your tissues or within the bone, it's very hard sometimes to get the medication or the antibiotic to kill that thing if it's in a Waldorf abscess or an area in a pocket or within the bone.
Right.
Sometimes they'll make an incision and sort of drill into the area to try to put the antibiotic in, but that's something that the surgeons would typically do. There are also some people that do hyperbaric oxygen therapy to help to kill infection with the bone. That's where a person goes into a big glass hyperbaric chamber and pure oxygen is pumped in to pressurize the oxygen throughout your body to help to kill infection and to help with healing. So,
how about the stem cells injection?
Well, stem cells are not really an antibiotic. They're not meant to kill an infection. So they could repair damaged tissue, but you have to stabilize and kill the infection first. So that would be well, yeah, hyperbaric oxygen would be one way to do that. I'm not sure from where you are whether a hyperbaric facility is anywhere near where you are.
Well, we can go to Manhattan. It's not a problem.
Yeah, you could probably look up hyperbaric oxygen therapy in Manhattan and see if you could find somebody that would do that. But that would be one of the good things to use to help to kill infection, would be hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Hyperbaric,
B-A-R-I-C.
Baric, okay.
Hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Oxygen
therapy. Alrighty.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so let me know. Call me back at some point. Let me know how she's doing. We'd love to help her out if we can. But let me know what's what. Give me a call. You can always come in and do the vitamin blood test and the other things that we do to help to maximize your health, but I think she needs to have that osteomyelitis attacked so it doesn't get worse. Thank you for your call. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. Let's go to Betty in Clifton, New Jersey. How are you?
Doctor, I have diabetes.
Okay.
And the doctor put me on...
You got to turn down your radio. I think we're getting a little feedback.
Yes. Okay, just a minute. I'll turn it down.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. The doctor put me on Clipizide for a day and Januvia.
Right.
100 milligrams of Januvia, one every morning.
I gotcha.
Yes. Now, the thing is, they feel if I have to go back for another blood test, I guess, in a month, and if they feel that that it's still high, they want to put me on insulin. That's something
I... Well, I think you want to understand that there are other things to do to help to improve your picture. The idea is that if I see patients that are diabetic, we typically will start to cut their carbohydrates down in their diet, get them to walk a little bit every day, a half hour or so, correct declining hormones like thyroid, DHEA, etc. Even testosterone is important in women just as it is in men, but women need a little bit of it. We also use stem cell therapy, take your own cells from your body, spin them in a high-speed centrifuge, put them back into your body. And if we do intravenous, the stem cells can get to your pancreas and help to make more pancreatic cells that will make insulin. So the technique that I use for diabetes is twofold: diet, exercise, correcting vitamins, minerals, and hormones, and then stem cell therapy to help your pancreas make the cells to make new insulin. So that, to me, would make a great deal more sense, because what happens is, if you follow just the drug route for diabetes, it's more and more drugs, yet the disease keeps getting worse. And there are videos on my website that show you the outcomes of our patients that are diabetic that can become non-diabetic over a relatively short period of time. So I don't know everything about you, but I'm sure we could help you by putting those things in place.
Well, I do exercise. I belong to a gym. That I do. And I watch my diet.
What does watch your diet mean?
Well,
what do you eat for breakfast?
Well, for breakfast, I only have two eggs, and I may have a roll.
You can't have the roll because the roll is very high in sugar. So what you're doing is eating things that become sugar, bread, rice, potatoes, pasta, whatever, fruit, and they're giving you more medications to control the sugar, yet they're letting you eat the sugar. Do you see that doesn't make a great deal of sense?
Yeah, but I have to gain some weight. I'm very thin.
Then we would use other foods. We would talk about avocados. There are lots of different things that, we could talk about. But excuse me?
They would put some weight on?
Well, we have to see what calories you're taking in.
Uh-huh.
And again, you don't want the diabetes to get worse. They want to put you on insulin, so you're not under control. I think we have to do the natural things to help with you as opposed to just keep giving you more meds.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't that make some sense, even to just kind of try out or learn about what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
You can see a video on my website of a patient who became non-diabetic in 2 months. We have another video coming up in a week or so of a gentleman who became non-diabetic in 2 months from doing a stem cell procedure. So it's simple and it's safe and it's your cells, so I think it's the greatest thing that you could do to help to repair your body. I think it's the greatest invention or discovery in science of all time, because it doesn't involve a drug or chemical. It's just using your own cells to help repair your body.
Because the insulin, I'm going to try not to take that.
Well, again, the only way to change the picture and not get on more and more meds is to do what we just spoke about.
Yes.
So you can give us a call at the office in Garden City. It's 516-794-0404.
So
and
you suggest the stem cell, huh?
The diet, the exercise, correcting vitamins, minerals, hormones, yes, all of it. All of that will help you. And we've seen that happen with many, many people. And the website is drcal.net.
All capitals?
Yeah, either or.
Oh, well, either or. Okay.
All righty. Look forward to seeing you. Give us a call. We'd love to help you out.
Cute.
Okay, dear. Have a great day. Thank you. Okay, let's go next to Ed. How are you, Ed?
Hello, doctor. How are you?
Great.
Hope you're Okay, I want to ask you a question. It sounds kind of foolish, but I listen to you every Sunday night. And,
oh, thank you.
You mentioned stem cells. Could you explain to me what exactly is a stem cell?
Sure. A stem cell is a cell that when you are born, actually before you're born, there are three different types of stem cells, and they develop into your spine, your organs, your skin. So these are cells that actually create growth of brand new cells to create from the fetus to the baby. And we'll take the baby to an adult because those cells help to develop each of all of your systems. So they exist in an adult in some amounts in fat, but in much greater amounts in the bone marrow inside your bone. So that's why for all the degenerative diseases we talk about, we can take some of your own stem cells, either do intravenous to get to all your organs. We could do injections into your knee, your hip, any of your joints. We could do intravenous and then a nasal mist to get stem cells into your brain. And you could do it to get them into your lung with a nebulizer as well. And they go to areas of damage and degeneration, set up shop, and make brand new cells. The research on stem cells started about 150 years ago. A doctor in Germany was doing this and called it a stem cell. So if you look at research and you keep going further and further back, that's what all of the medical searches describe. So there are more studies on stem cell than really any other thing we know in medicine. There aren't many things at all that have 150 years worth of research in all countries on it. So I think that's why it's one of the most well understood things that, you know, exists in science. So they're the greatest cells of repair for your body.
That would clear it to a lot of people because I don't think a lot of people understand what stem cells are.
Well, they hear about it. And when people say, I heard that it's illegal, that's because many years ago they heard that the administration maintained that using an aborted fetus for tissue for stem cell was illegal. And that holds true to this day. That should not be legal. First of all, you don't want to create a business by doing that, number one. And number two, you can use your own cells, which are better because they are your own cells. It takes about 45 seconds to extract cells from the posterior crest on the ilium, which is, you know, where your belt sits on that big crest of your hip. If you walk your fingers back about 6 to 8 inches, there's a fat little bump there. So we sterilize the skin with a little betadine. We numb the skin, lay the anesthetic on the bone. As I always say, much like putting, you know, stain on wood, it absorbs the anesthetic. We, through a pinhole, we extract the fluid, and that's done in about 45 seconds. So it's a very safe, simple procedure, and they're your cells, so your body knows what to do with your cells. We're taking them out and putting them back in within the hour,
okay.
Sometimes less.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much, Doctor.
You're very welcome. Take a look.
I didn't quite understand what the stem cell was, you know.
Oh, good. I'm glad you asked. Because your question probably helped a few thousand or maybe a bunch of thousand other people
that
are listening as well.
I think you mentioned stem cells, but really people don't realize what it is, you know.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your call. Okay. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in now, do so. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Louie in Long Island. How are you, Louie?
Hey, Doc, how's it going?
Good.
I got a quick question. A couple of years ago, the kidney values were showing abnormal, so the doctor sent me for a sonogram.
Right.
And it showed multiple cysts.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, I guess, polycystic kidney disease.
Yeah.
My question was this, like, when I go to the doctor, I don't seem to get much information as far as, diet or what I should do, what I shouldn't do.
Well, partially because they're not, they may not be trained in understanding nutrition or diet or more natural mechanisms. Of course, I don't talk about diet to patients unless we've looked at their blood to see about their vitamins, their minerals. We'll check to see if they can absorb or digest well. We'll look at their liver, kidney, heart function. You know, we'll look at all of this. Then we put together a diet based on that. We'll even test people to see if they're allergic. So depending upon what you present with your comments and your history, then we do appropriate testing to that. So if you had polycystic kidney disease, then we'd have a nice discussion about that. This is where you have cysts that are non-functioning tubules or areas in the kidneys that have fluid pumped into them. They just don't do anything, so they're not active areas of function. We can have a discussion about stem cell therapy because it's been used, and a great deal of the literature supports the use of stem cell therapy for kidney disease, including kidney failure. So stem cells would go to the area and make brand new kidney cells. So the cysts might still be there, of course, but you're going to have younger, newer kidney cells coming to the area to function. So I think that's why that would be a great advantage.
Is there like any particular like cause for that? I mean, I know sometimes it's genetic.
Typically, it's genetic. So
is that because nobody else in?
Well, nobody that you knew of, and if you go back two or three generations, back to a time where doctors didn't have MRIs or didn't have technology to really understand all of this, a lot of people or a few people might have had it, and you would have known it.
Oh, that's possible. Yeah.
So that's why.
So what you recommend is that I get tested for nutrients.
Yeah, what I would do if you came in would bring you in, get you tested for vitamins, minerals, hormones, look at absorption, digestion, look at immune response, look at your kidney function, look at a variety of things, heavy metal exposure. Really learn about a lot about you and then put together recommendations to start correcting it.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much for your call. Okay, let's go next to Gloria. Hi there, how are you?
Hi, Dr. Kale. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Calling for my brother. He has that eye disease where he's going blind, Rigmund's syncomatosa.
Retinitis pigmentosa.
Yes, and I'm calling for him if your stem cell therapy can help him or do anything.
It's always possible,
him.
I believe, that stem cells can get to tissues where you have decent blood flow. So the reality is, if you look at stem cell therapy for a wide range of disorders, you'll see research on just about every degenerative disorder there is. If we look up through Scholar Google research on stem cell therapy for retinitis pigmentosa, there's a lot of studies there. There's 21,000 citations. So there's information on how, you know, stem cells can be beneficial. Now, I can tell you, because we don't have a lot of people that have had retinitis pigmentosa, it's not a common disorder compared to diabetic retinopathy or, you know, just typical age-related changes of the eyes. But we have a lot of people that we would do stem cell therapy intravenously, or we do a second dose nasal approach. They say their vision has improved dramatically. And some of those people that have had diabetic retinopathy have had improvement. So we know that it gets to the eyes. And if we can help diabetic retinopathy, then I don't see why it couldn't help other areas or other disorders of the same tissue. We know they get there.
Thank you so much. He'll probably be calling you.
Oh, great.
Thank
I'd love to help him out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear. Have a wonderful day. Okay.
Hey.
Bye-bye now. You're very kind. Thank you. Okay, 1-800-848-WABC. You can call in now to ask a question. It was funny the other day on the radio program, the majority of my callers were from Staten Island. I'm not sure why, but of course we get calls from people all over the place, and it's fun, you know, with the engineers there. We try to figure out, you know, how many people we can get from different areas, who's representing Queens or Nassau or Suffolk or Connecticut. We've had calls from Minnesota. We've had calls from California. I've even had calls from London, England. Swear on that one, because and the engineers will support that. We had someone calling from London, and I said, London, Ontario, London, where? London, England. The lady had a lovely voice, but one of her relatives that lived here told her about the program, so she was listening online, and she decided to call in. So it's pretty amazing to me that there are people out there all over the world who want good information, and this is really primarily really good, healthy information for you. Okay, phone lines are open. Give us a call, 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go next to Lou in Queens. Hi there. How are you?
Hello. Hi.
How can I help you?
Okay. I developed lichen planus over 20 years ago.
Okay.
It's been bothering me ever since. Every couple of months, the rash gets worse and I start scratching. And I develop cellulitis from it.
Okay.
I take antibiotics for like 10 days, it goes away, and then a few months later.
Where do you have it specifically?
Usually on my legs. I have it on my arms too, but the cellulitis is on my legs.
Okay. Well, I think there are things to help to decrease the inflammatory cascade of autoimmune disorders, and we've said that. We know that with stem cell therapy. So we've had people that have had a variety of different skin conditions, people that have lymphedema, people that have had diabetic ulcers, even bed sores, where we've done stem cell therapy to the area. And I think because you're putting brand new, healthy, perfectly functional skin cells into the tissue, you could have some significant improvement. For a lot of people, however, we do an intravenous as the primary, and then we just add a couple of injections to the area in question.
Okay, so, right now when it inflamed really badly, because I scratch like crazy all night long, when it gets inflamed, I get steroid shots, and it heals up. But
well, steroids just going to shrink down the inflammatory cascade, but the cause of the problem is still there. And remember that a lot of autoimmune disorders are things that are triggered by something, either heavy metal exposure, because a ton of research says that. There are 206 articles on my website about heavy metals and how they can affect your body. Viruses also can cause autoimmune phenomenon, and viruses are also linked with cancer. Epstein-Barr virus is linked with MS, lupus, and 24 cancers. So there's research that might show what may be causing it in your case. That's why we want to dig a little deeper and do some more testing.
Okay, great. I went through so many tests the past 20 years, and so many chemicals through my body.
Well, this is different because we're looking at your vitamins, minerals, hormones, allergy, infection, heavy metals. We're looking at all sorts of things that traditionally doctors do not look at or want to look at. And also the therapies that we recommend are typically those that are very natural. If you're allergic to a food, take the food out. If your vitamins are low, correct that. If your hormones are low, correct that. If you have heavy metals on board, let's pull them out. If we want to shut down some inflammatory cascade or repair damaged tissue, then we might talk about stem cell therapy. So it really depends upon what you present with when we talk and when I examine you when we do the testing.
Okay, great. That sounds good.
All righty. Love to help you out. Give us a call. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call, do so right now. Don't wait for the end of the program. We could take a whole bunch of calls between now and then. Let's go next to Catherine in South Ferry, Connecticut.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine. I listen to you. I always promote you. I
thank you.
You're superb, doctor. But I just want to, you mentioned before that this, or someone called in about osteomyelitis.
Yeah.
As a result of an infection, and she had hip replacements. Well, I have had the same thing, and I have an ongoing, it's about 4 months now, they haven't been able to, finalize the, I have a lower calf infection, and I'm being treated by...
In your skin or in your bone?
It's in the skin.
Okay.
Apparently, but they keep digging into it and digging into it. I don't know what to...
Well, it might mean that your immune system is just weak and not able to kill that infection.
Yeah.
So obviously they want to use antibiotics to kill it. But I still think you want to get your body strong to help kill infection as well. So that's what we typically do when we correct your vitamins, minerals, et cetera.
Well, I've had a surgical procedure, and they did, and in the process I developed... I had a hemorrhage, so I'm just out of the hospital right
wow.
now. And now I'm home, and I'm ready for another procedure, which involves the artery. They're trying to increase the circulation in the lower portion.
Oh, so they're doing a bypass. They're going to do a bypass from your upper to your lower extremity. That's typically called a fem-pop bypass, femoral artery. It's a big one in your groin going down to your upper part of your leg. They're doing a bypass to get more blood flow down there. I got you. Okay.
Right, but so, I developed a hemorrhage in the hospital, and I was losing blood. Now they want me to... I'm anemic, apparently, and they want me on blood pills, but nothing specific.
Well, you have to look at everything, not just iron, but you have to look at iron, all your vitamins. Vitamin C helps bring iron on board. So I would do the blood testing for you for all the vitamins, the minerals, the hormones. Look at your immune response, look at infection, look at everything in your blood, and then put together the best combination. Typically, we use gentle iron, where people can use between 1 to 3 capsules a day. We might also recommend iron shots to just give your body a quicker storage of the iron. So it's hard for me to and I don't make recommendations over the radio, but it's hard for me to make a recommendation without seeing your most recent blood test. So if you were to come in, I would have you bring your prior blood test so I can see what's going on.
Well, they've been taking that constantly in the hospital.
Yeah, but they're not doing your vitamin levels at all. They're not looking at all the things we do, you know. They're only looking at certain things.
Right. But in the meantime, in the interim, the shots are available, would be available, and iron.
Yeah, oral iron by mouth, and then iron shot is what doctors typically could recommend. So you could ask your general practice doctor, you know, what he might recommend, because he's seen you, and he's obviously, he knows your case.
Yeah, well, everybody seems to be, and the family is involved in my case sometimes, and I'm the last one to know. But
yeah.
I just wanted to be sure, just your recommendation on the...
Yeah, the recommendation is only to get your family doctor to tell you what to do, because I have no knowledge of your case at all. So
right.
That's why he should, you know, give you a suggestion. Maybe he has the iron shot to give you. So that's the best way to go about, based upon your specific case, your results.
Okay.
Thank you for your call. All righty. Okay, let's go next to Chris in New York City. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Calipari. Great show.
How are you? Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I have osteoporosis, and
yep.
Doctor recommends the Prolia injection.
Yeah.
Every 6 months, but I'm finding out, looking, you know, reading on it and stuff, that after you go off of it a couple of years, I think, you're more prone to a fracture. Is that?
Well, there are a lot of side effects to medications for osteoporosis. And almost every drug, if you look at it, you'll see
right.
side effects where when people look at that, they don't really want to take the drug.
Right.
So,
well, I didn't
you know,
go on it. Oh.
I think that you can correct osteoporosis, and we've done it, by correcting your vitamins, of course, including vitamin D, by okay. correcting your minerals, calcium, magnesium, potassium, boron. You might need to absorb your foods and vitamins better to really get help for your bone. Maybe your digestive ability is off, so it's important to look at that. When you correct thyroid, that can be beneficial to your bone, DHEA, adrenal hormone, testosterone. So most of what I do does not include using the medications for osteoporosis. Most people that look at the side effects of those things decide they don't want to take them.
Even though I'm 73 and I have it really bad, I mean, I couldn't get any worse, I don't think. Yeah.
Well, we have lots of people who are your age and older that have similar or worse problems. So I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't do what your doctor recommends. I mean, you have to make a decision as to what you want to do. So I think that you have to look at all the options and then make a real educated decision as to what you want to follow.
Okay.
A lot of these medications, and certainly this one as well, has the risk of jawbone breakdown or osteonecrosis of the jaw. A lot of the osteoporosis drugs can cause your jaw to degenerate, you know, so that's not good. And that's right on the label. Or if you look online as to side effects of these medications, that's what can occur. So I'd rather use it natural recommendations, you know, than to use just the drug. Because whatever is causing the problem is still there unless you correct that. So the drug is just a sort of a band-aid on a broken leg.
All right, Doc. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. Don't wait for the end of the show. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Cy in the Bronx. How are you?
Hello. Hi. Doc, just quickly to tell you, I've seen you in the past, a couple of years ago.
Yes, I recognize your voice.
Remember?
Yep.
I went around with a walker.
Yeah.
But here's my problem. I've become very deathly weak.
Okay.
And I'm talking whole body.
Yeah, that's not unusual. That can be from a decline of your vitamins, low thyroid, DHEA, testosterone, of course. That can be from a virus if you feel flu-like. I mean, there are 50 reasons for having fatigue or for being weak. So the best thing to do is to test for those things, you know, and look at all of them, not just one. You could have low iron. You could have low calcium, potassium. I mean, it could be any number of things.
Like right now, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but right now, recently, I've been able to sleep like 18 hours a day.
Okay.
I can't seem to get the strength to come get off the bed or do anything.
Yeah, I can't guess as to what may be causing it. you know, other than, you know, calling an ambulance and getting to the hospital to have them do blood testing and evaluate you, I'm not sure what else you could do. If you can't get out of bed, that's not good. I mean, I don't remember all the medical concerns we might have spoken of, you know, a couple of years back, but I think you have to be evaluated. You know, is there a hospital near you?
Yeah, Einstein. But, doc, here's what I'm getting at. You say they'll do blood tests. Not the same as what
you... Of course not, but they'll check your iron, they'll check, you know, some of the more common causes that they're used to testing to see why you're tired. You want to make sure it's not related to your heart or related to something more, you know, significant. I mean, of course, if you can get it up and around and you can come and see me, then that would be the best blood testing you could possibly do. You already know that. You've done it a few times over. I'm sure I saw you in the city office years ago, and that was a long time ago. So, yeah, I mean, if you can get up and around and come to the office, we would do that for you. But if you can't get out of bed, it's not good.
Doctor, can I just want to ask you this. I've been on my mind a long time with my regular doctor here. I'm wondering, is there a possibility of having some kind of cancer that would cause, in a sense, these same symptoms of all this?
Well, cancer just doesn't cause fatigue. Usually it causes significant weight loss or your organ starts to malfunction if it's lung or stomach. I mean, you'd have to have some more symptoms, but is it possible? I guess. I don't know because I don't know all your symptoms. I haven't examined you and I haven't looked at your testing. That's another thing that they could test. But if you're seeing your primary doctor, can you get to him?
Yeah, I can, not immediate. You know how doctors are so busy. So I can get to my doctor in a short time, I guess. I would tell the doctor that these same things I just described.
Well, yeah, you either have to, you know, contact his office and get in to be seen so we could do some testing. Or if you can't get in within, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, then just go to the hospital. Have them pick you up or go yourself if you can, and you've got to get some testing done to figure out what's happening. Do that, you know, as soon as you can, and then let me know. Call back on the radio and let me know what's happening. Or call the office. Thank you for the call. Okay, let's go next to Carol. How are you?
Yes, hi, doctor.
Yes.
Talking about hypoxia. How does one contract it and is recovery?
It's not a contractible thing. Hypoxia just means low oxygen, mm-hmm. You know. So hypo means low, oxy is oxygen. So low oxygen, typically people that have hypoxia have lung issues where there's inflammation in the lung and the oxygen is supposed to float right through the tubules of your lung and get across into the alveoli, these little grape-like clusters or sacs in your lung. When they hit the inside or the lining of the alveoli, they should be attracted by oxygen into your red blood cell. And when oxygen grabs on and your blood keeps pumping and, you know, your blood cells that keep pumping around those vessels in your lung grab lots of oxygen and deliver it to the rest of your body. So hypoxia just means that a person's either low in oxygen. It could be because they have a lung issue.
From emphysema, mold?
Of course. COPD, emphysema, bronchitis, you know, smoking, you know, pulmonary fibrosis, asthma. Yeah, there are many reasons. You know, so lots of things that could affect or damage the lungs. Who has hypoxia and how bad is it? Did they do a finger test where they put a little clamp over your finger and read the oxygen, the pulse oximeter?
He's right now on a respirator. They tried a tracheotomy, but the oxygen level wasn't sufficient. So
what put that person on a respirator?
We don't know. The hypoxia, that's what they're saying. We don't know.
No, something, I mean, why did they go to the hospital? Did they have a stroke, a heart attack?
They were saying no stroke, no heart attack. He was just not coherent.
Well, then there's something occurring in the brain if he's not coherent. Mm-hmm. So there could be something occurring in the brain that's making it hard for his body to do his normal activities and functions.
Right. Mm-hmm. So difficult recovery. Recovery would be depends.
Yeah. So they said he didn't have a stroke.
No
or
stroke,
didn't have
no
a heart attack.
Neither, no.
So was he found at home unresponsive? Was he just getting weak, or?
Apparently he was speaking, like, not coherent. He was hallucinating, talking about his father had passed away, and he's passed away. He said he was having dinner with him, so he just wasn't making sense.
Yeah. Is he on medications that might have caused?
None.
No medications. No. Well, something's doing it, yeah, so you have to figure out what the cause is. But in the hospital, they should be able to figure that out.
Hopefully.
You know, I've seen cases where there was a gas leak in the house and the person was, you know, delusional or delirious because they're exposed to the gas. And they had to treat them, and then all of a sudden things start to, you know, come back. Maybe there's heavy metal exposure. Maybe there are mini strokes. I mean, you won't know until you do, you know, they do a little more testing.
Testing. All right. Thank you.
All righty. You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. Okay, phone lines are open. We have time for a couple of calls if you'd like to do so. Do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll get you up on the air. Putting new articles on the website relatively soon, putting new videos up for the website. I wanted to talk a little bit about diabetes because I'm going to do a video on diabetes. And each of the major diseases I think I'm going to do a video on, you know, a 2 or 3 or 5 minute video where we talk about things. And of course, diabetes is so common. There are over 30 million people that have diabetes in this country right now, over 30 million. And we think, as researchers, there may be half as much or more who are either pre-diabetic or are becoming diabetic and don't realize it and don't know it. So we have to take a much stronger stance against this. This is a disease that costs millions and millions and millions of dollars a year to treat. And of course, that's a bad burden, but the progression of diabetes leads to heart attack, stroke, amputations, nerve and blood vessel and organ destruction. We have to be more aggressive in stopping and changing this. So low-carb diet, correcting vitamins, minerals, hormones, exercise will help on what I call the peripheral realm. And then the central core is to do stem cell therapy so your pancreas can absorb those cells and make new cells to produce more insulin. And that's been documented in a great deal of literature over many years. So we have to shut down the progression of some of these horrible diseases. It's not good to just use meds and allow the disease to get worse and be on 10 or 15 meds, because meds will interact with each other. Let's go to Francis. Hi there. How are you? How can I help you?
Yes, I'm calling about a brown stain that I have on an ankle, and it just came on, like, all of a sudden.
Yeah, if it's reddish-brown, that could be stasis dermatitis. That means that your circulation is changing and is getting worse or being affected because the brown stain is typically from the brown rust-colored iron that's in your cells. If your cells are breaking down or if your blood is somewhat slow around that area and slow to come back up to your heart, then you could have stasis dermatitis, which would be pigmentation of the skin. So we'd have to do some testing of your circulation to see whether or not there's plaque in your blood vessels going down your legs or maybe plaque in the blood vessels of the veins returning from your legs and feet.
I had seen a dermatologist, and he said, you know, to see a vascular doctor.
Yeah, so he believes it's not a skin condition, it's more of a vascular cause.
But he also gave me a steroid cream to put on twice a day for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's really not going to do much.
Isn't? No. It was to soften. It was getting a little hard, you know, in that area. And
well, without seeing it, and with seeing so many people that have this, without seeing that, you probably have stasis dermatitis, but we'd have to check your circulation.
And who was that done by?
Typically, vascular doctors do that. I do it in my office. It depends upon who you're close to.
Where are you at?
Garden City in Plainview.
Where is that?
Garden City in Long Island and Plainview on Long Island.
Oh, Long Island. Oh,
yeah.
I live in New Jersey.
Yeah, so you've got to ask your primary care who the vascular doctor is to go see for that. Thank you so much for your call. Friends, thank you for listening today. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. www.drcal.net is the website, drcal.net. Office is 516-794-0404. It's Garden City. And Plainview is 516-433-3232. Bye-bye now.
This program was sponsored by CC Medical Services. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.